Good morning, everybody. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Thanks for joining our quarterly VA Optum call on this very cold morning here in Iowa. We'll go ahead and get started and take a bit of a roll call and make sure we have some representation from all of our folks on here. So if you're on when I call, just unmute yourself and let me know. Do we have someone out of Omaha on? How about Des Moines VA?
We are here.
Excellent. Thank you. How about Iowa City?
We're on.
Welcome, guys. Anybody out of Sioux Falls? How about back to Omaha? Do we have Susan or Trista with us? How about Optum? Who do we have representing Optum this morning?
Hi, this is Dan Goldsberry. I'm the provider advocate for Vision 23.
Welcome, Dan. Thank you for being with us. How about other Optum folks? Do we have Anna or Wayne?
I know there was a conflict meeting and Wayne said he was going to join after that meeting, so I'm uncertain as to the status of that.
Okay, perfect.
He did provide me a list of the questions and some general answers that he provided, so I have some information, I just don't have everything.
Okay, and do we have Bridget by chance? Bridget Johnson?
She is no longer with the VA CCN program. She's moved on to a different role.
Well, we'll go ahead and get started. We did have four questions that were sent ahead, and we've had one that just came in yesterday. And then if folks have questions as we go along, feel free to use the chat function and put those in the chat. You can also feel free to unmute as well if you have a question as we move through. So the first question submitted was, when do we have to start using the veterans ICN number as their insurance ID on their claims?
Yeah, the basic answer right now is the ICN can be used today instead of the Social Security number. So there's not been any update from the VA provided telling us that we should no longer submit claims with the social. So at this point, it's still both are valid.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Dan. Could you please ask if a face-to-face is required when the veteran has a bundled authorization for services?
From Wayne's response, Optum does not request the face-to-face, so it's not a requirement from Optum.
How about Des Moines or Iowa City? Is that anything you're needing?
No.
Perfect. So it'd be no across the board. Excellent. Has anyone mentioned that Optum is paying 100% of the charged amount for home care claims? All of my September claims are paying at 100% instead of the VA fee schedule.
Yeah, this is definitely an issue. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There we go. I'm sorry. This is definitely an issue that's on the radar. And at this point, the response from claims, it's indicating they assume these are for non-bundled services. Essentially, they're going to need claim examples submitted and put through so that we can research it further for each individual. But I know that this is on a higher end radar, so it's definitely out there.
Perfect. So it looks like the person that submitted this said they hadn't heard back. They're waiting for a call back from a manager on the issue. Is there a certain time frame If they haven't heard back, that they need to be reaching back out, or is there someone else they should reach out to if they don't hear back?
Yeah, if they don't hear back, I mean, that I'm the advocate for the region, so I can put my email in the chat box here and reach out to me. If, you know, give them enough time to get back to you, of course, but if it's gone beyond 7 to 10 days, I would say reach out to me, and then I can provide you with a spreadsheet that we're going to need the claims, and we can have them reviewed further.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great. And it looks like,
Hey, Julie.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we clarify, I guess, just to make sure that I know what you're referring to when you say face-to-face, are you referring to face-to-face as in the veteran having a face-to-face with their primary care provider prior to a home care referral? Or are you talking about home care agencies having face-to-face care visits in the home with the veterans?
So the face-to-face they're referring to in that earlier question would be with the physician that would be ordering services for the reason for admission, just like they do for a Medicare or Medicaid admit. It would be
okay.
90 days prior to services or 30 days after the order for reason of admission that they would need that face-to-face.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
You bet. And it looks like Dan did put his email there in the chat. And we'll get back. We do have a question, but we'll get there in just a moment. The next pre-submitted question was on a VA form 10-7080, approved referral form. Which date do we look for the billing, the referral date issue or the first appointment date? This can make a difference on which referral number we use for billing. They've been told to use the referral issue date. Just want to make sure this is correct.
Yeah, the answer I got back, it says claims are processed based on the referral covered period, which should be a date range. And the range should include the first appointment date. But we have had referrals where this was not true. So if the claim was for the first appointment date and this date is not in the covered range, the VA needs to correct the referral covered period.
So to clarify the question, it would be from first appointment date to expiration.
Correct.
So first appointment date to expiration date. Perfect. And then I had a question that did filter in yesterday, wondering if anyone is having difficulties with, and I don't know if you're able to answer this, United Healthcare credentialing for VA.
Yeah, that's kind of out of my realm, to be honest, out of scope for me. I don't know what issues would be involved there.
Okay. Anybody, either Des Moines or Iowa City, do you have any insight to that, or do you need some clarifying information?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understood the question.
The question that came across says, is anyone else having difficulties with United Healthcare credentialing for VA?
Okay. I wouldn't have any input on that question, unfortunately, just since the credentialing really occurs between the agencies and Optum.
I can say that any of the providers that I've had this is Michelle from Iowa City, and I sometimes help providers with this. Any of them that have been reaching out to me, we have been able to get them. We've had some providers that they're not like Optum is saying that we have too many people in this area and we're not going to credential them. And then I just have a form that I fill out and send to Optum saying that we do need this person, and they push it right through. So I haven't had any problems with that.
Okay, that sounds doable. Are you able to put your email in the chat, Michelle? Or send it to me and I can forward it to this person either way.
Sure, I can put it in the, I can put it in there. And then like I said, so if a provider is brand new, they usually reach out to me and I give them the information to contact Optum. And then like I said, if they get something that says that there's too many in that area, then I can help them.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put my email in there.
Perfect. I'm not sure if the person that submitted this is on right now or not, but it is being recorded, so they'll have access to it as well. Those were the five submitted questions ahead of time. The first question in the chat that was posed was for bundled services, is a 32A required?
I'm not sure what a 32A is, to be honest.
I do not either from the VA perspective.
Karen, who submitted that, are you able to unmute a moment? Karen, are you still on?
Oh, notice of admission. I see she replied in the chat.
Oh, there we go.
Notice of admission, which is now needed for Medicare. We actually do have some information out on the VA site. Let me see if I can find a link to that. But from what I understand, the notice of admission and RAP information is not going to be required, but bear
that
with
is
me
also,
a moment. I'm trying to find that so that it's official.
Yeah, it was in your newsletter back in, it was either August or September, because I did reach out for another provider and forwarded that information. So you guys are not requiring the NOA.
Correct.
I believe August.
Yeah, it's definitely out there online somewhere. I just don't have the link right handy. I'm trying to find it here.
Hey, Dan, I'll follow up with that. This is Phil Dugan. I'm the Provider Experience Network Management Regional Manager for Vizint 23. I could follow up on that question. I'll get back with you.
Perfect. And that was... That was the only question in the chat right now. Let's see, we got another one. We continue to receive bill for collection letters from the VA, but the letter said it's from the Office of Community Care. We responded multiple times to appeal, but we have not received anything back. The letter keeps coming with interest, and when we called Community Care, they're not aware of the letter.
They could check with FSC. I'll get the information to call. And otherwise, I'll follow up with that as well. Can you drop your contact information into the chat and I'll reach back out to you?
Perfect. Thanks, Philip. It looks like she's given you her direct phone line there.
Got it.
Thank you so much. Dan has put in our chat the VA provider advisor. It was September, issue 35, CMS claims processing changes and more. Karen, what's the best way to handle if we have two authorizations for 1 month? Can we put both auths on one claim, or should we divide up the claim?
If you put both auths on the claim, it'll kick it back. There's it can only be one auth per claim. So you would end up having to split that.
Thank you for that answer. Rachel says, for Optum, can you bill both the home care aide and the homemaker service on the same claim as long as they have the same authorization number? We're getting claims denied as duplicates because we bill on separate bills.
That's a question I'm not sure, to be honest. I want to say that it can be built on the same claim, but we have seen duplicate issues. So I think we would need examples of what you're receiving, and we can have it researched further.
Would they also send that to you, Dan, as far as the examples of the denied duplicates?
If you've tried to work, yeah, if you've tried to go through customer service and you're not getting anywhere at that point, you know, that you have my email in the chat here. Send me an email and I can send you the spreadsheet that we're going to need the claim information. You know, of course, we do recommend following the service model and trying to reach through customer service and provider services first, as they have an entire team dedicated for claims. And I'm just one person handling five states. So want to make sure everybody's aware that definitely the better way to go first is to try provider services, customer service, and see if you can get it resolved that way. If that fails, then reach out to me.
Okay. And it looks like she just put a follow-up there about calling each month to get the claims reprocessed. So, sounds like maybe that process just isn't refined properly yet, or we just need a better answer of if they could be together or not there. So Rachel, if you want to follow up on that and then maybe keep me in the loop as well, so I can put it out in the community for other members if they may be having the same issue. Yes.
This is Joan at Genesis Visiting Nurses. We bill our homemakers and health aides on separate claims because they have different codes. Even if they're under the same auth, I think they should have different, like, HCPCS codes and revenue codes. So I don't know if that would help or not.
And are those processing fine for you and your agency? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much of a problem. I did have that problem where things were paying at total charges, but I got that all corrected by sending in remits, and they went through them all and took back their overpayments. But this one, I think maybe, I don't know what codes they use, but we have different codes.
Well, the revenue code and the HCPCS would be different for each of those disciplines for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your experience there.
I mean, they should see that when it gets billed at Optum. I mean, because they're different coding, and I see that she says she does have different codes, but they have the same dates of service. And sometimes that does happen, and you have to send it back, but not very often for me.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Does the VA follow the 30-day billing periods like Medicare now that we no longer need to bill wraps? This is where we have issues with auths expiring in the middle of the billing period.
As far as I know, it's following the Medicare guidelines. I'm by no means a biller, coder, expert, so I can't give you a breakdown on that. But I've been told that it's following the guidelines. However, I also am aware that only one auth per claim will work. So splitting it, I'm not sure if that's something, you know, that maybe they should not be issuing a new auth number or something along that lines. I'm uncertain how that works on the VA side with the auth process.
Does Des Moines or Iowa City have any input there?
Iowa City does not.
I do not either.
Okay. Phil put in there that the HSRM is another resource for outreach and claims issues. Angie commented, are you using a different ref code for the home health aid and homemaker? The aid is G0156 and the homemaker should be the S5130. And then it looks like Rachel said you do bill different codes. So just have the same data service. Okay.
I am a little questioned on some part of that because I've been told that the homemaker services need to be billed on a HCFA 1500, which would not contain rev codes. So I'm wondering if that might be part of the problem.
We bill on a UB, so I've never billed anything on a 1500 for home health care.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned on that just because I know that there is documentation out there for, I'm gonna find it on here and I'll put the link in the chat.
We build both bundled and non-bundled on a UB, and I don't have issues like that.
I think they consider, let's see, this is personal care services is what they're calling it. And according to this, it says that services are to be billed on a HCFA 1500, one service per line. So that I don't. Like I said, I'm not a claims expert. I'm just kind of a middleman in this situation, but put the link in the chat box. It should come through soon.
Okay, perfect. I don't see it through yet, but.
It seems to be a delay when I put anything in the chat box.
Do we have any other questions? Feel free to unmute or use your chat function. There it came through. Any other questions while we're waiting? I'm just going to give out the next date for the quarterly 2022, which will fall on April 26th, 10 o'clock Iowa time, Central Standard Time. We are thankful that the VA and Optum are willing to hop on with us quarterly, as it is a very nice benefit for providers to be able to visit with you all. So we do want to say thank you for that. We know that you're busy as much as the providers. Do we have any further questions? We'll give it about another 30 seconds here in case somebody has any questions or you need to grab anything out of the chat for links or phone numbers. All right, I'm not seeing anything new coming in, so we'll go ahead and thank both VA and Optum for being on with us today. And we look forward to joining you guys again on April 26th. And of course, for providers, if you have questions in between times, please feel free to reach out to me. I can get you connected. We don't want to hold anything up that you need processed between times. So if at any time you need something, reach out to me, julie@iowahealthcare.org, and I'll be happy to help you. Stay safe, everybody. Have a great rest of the week and stay warm out there. Thanks for joining, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.